passion for God, and compassion for our neighbor. Reaching people with Jesus. This is Crosswinds Church. And now, our special guest speaker.
Well, there was two men who heard about a great opportunity to homestead out west. And there wasn't a lot of great options and opportunities where they were, and they were good friends, so they decided together, let's head west. And so these two guys begin to head west, and as they travel, they're looking for a good place to settle down, because they want to start a life for themselves. They want to basically plant themselves in a place where they get married and have kids and begin a life somewhere they can be established. And so they travel and they travel and they travel, and finally they come to this river, and it's just lush around there. And this would be a fantastic place for us to settle down. But there was quite a few homesteads around, so they begin to head south and just follow the river until there's a big enough clearing with houses far enough away where they're like, this is a good spot. And so, like good friends, they play rock, paper, scissors for which side of the river each one gets. One guy gets one side, and the other guy gets the other side. And they begin to go look for where they're going to build their homes. And so the first guy, he begins to walk along, and he just kind of follows the river. He walks really close, and he begins to notice there's a whole lot of trees that grow right on the edge of the river. It's like, man, if I built my house close to the river, I wouldn't have to drag trees very far. That'd be a whole lot easier. And as he continues to walk basically down this kind of winding river, he sees this one point where there's a bend that literally goes out into the river. And so he walks out onto this bend, and it's almost like the river completely curves around it. There's river on both sides. And he looks around, and he kneels down, and he picks up some of the sand, and it literally is sand. And it just kind of courses through his fingers, and he goes, it would be so easy to build a house here. And he sees all the trees right next to it. He's like, I could cut them down, put them right here. I love to fish. I could literally sit on my porch and fish. I'm going to build my house here. The other guy takes a little bit more time. He likewise walks up and down the river, and he too notices that there's a whole lot of trees along the river. It would be super easy just to cut them down and put them up right there. But he also looks at the sand. He also looks at the banks of the river, and he notices that they aren't where they used to be. That over time, the river has been so powerful that it has moved the banks. That now they've shifted and there's curves where there didn't used to be curves. And he gets down and he picks up some of this sand and it courses through his hands and he says, if I build on this, it will wash away. And as he stands up, he looks up and he sees this bluff, this solid rock that juts out of the side of the river. And he goes over, and it's much more difficult to get up there. He finds a path, but he kind of has to climb up this hill in the back, and he gets up there, and it's a solid rock. He realizes there's no trees up there. You would have to cut them down at the bottom and drag them up. It would be way more work. But this man is committed and dedicated to having a solid foundation for his home. And so he says, I'm going to build my house on the rock. So both these men begin building. They cut down the trees. They begin to basically shave off all of the bark. And they begin to notch them to kind of make their log cabins. And the first guy down on the sand, man, he's just going to town. He just throws down his logs, begins to part, basically putting up his walls. In no time, he already has the first part of his wall started. And while he's throwing up his walls, up on the top of the bluff, you can hear chink, 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 as his friend is up there chiseling anchor holes into the rock to make sure that it is securely firm in its foundation attached to the rock. Guy number one down here on the beach, basically, his walls are now completely up. And up on the top of the hill, you still hear chink, chink, chink. The guy on the beach has already begun to put his roof up. When the guy up on the rock just has his anchors basically secured, and he begins to build his walls. As his walls are slowly going up now, the first guy down on the beach has his home completely done. He's sitting on his porch yelling up, "Hey, how's your house up there? Oh, wait, you don't have one." And he just sits down there and fishes. Guy continue, up on the rock continues to build and build, and finally his home is completed. Now that both of them have their homesteads completed, that they both basically set out to build a life for themselves there, that they both get married. They both basically begin to farm the area. And over time, their houses begin to become more of a home. All of the furniture that was furniture appropriate for a bachelor is no longer appropriate. So now they're having to build new beds and new kitchen tables and new kitchen areas. And basically everything is beginning to be more established. In the door frame, you begin to have little marks on the door, what age their kids are, what heights. The walls are beginning to be filled with artwork from all the family. Their home is becoming more and more of a home every day as they establish themselves there. But after about 10 years, a once-in-a-decade rain begins to come. And it rains, and it rains, and it rains. And the house that's down on the bend of the river is now a mud pit. But that's not the most concerning thing. The most concerning thing is the river continues to rise and rise and rise. And the man who built his house on the sand stands there and watches as the river crests the mound, the peninsula that he's built on, and begins to creep over. And he goes into his house to get the last of his things that he can get, that he can carry. And he and his family walk away as they just watch the river rise and take away their home, take away their house, and take away the life that they had built for themselves there. And all the while, the man who built his house upon the rock still has his firmly secured on its foundation. Our passage today is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When we read this passage and think about this, I love asking the question, why did Jesus tell this short little parable here? Because it's not like what Jesus says is, all right, there's two guys. Guy number one makes a good choice. Guy number two makes a slightly less good choice. That's not what Jesus says. He says one guy makes a very wise choice, and the other guy does something that's utterly foolish. And no one's going to hear Jesus tell this story and go, you know, I was thinking about it. I think I want to be guy number two in this. This is going to end well for me. No one hears that. And so we go, well, why would Jesus tell this? If it's clear that no one would willingly choose to do something like this, what is Jesus trying to illustrate here? And what is he trying to teach us? And I believe what we can learn from this is we can learn by kind of looking at what is similar with these guys and what is different. And I believe those things, that's how we can better understand what Jesus is trying to communicate to each of us. And I believe what he is trying to communicate is the people who do build on the sand do it without thinking. They don't acknowledge and desire to go, you know what? 10 years from now, I want my life to fall apart. That's what Jesus is trying to illustrate. That there's a lot of intentionality with the foundation of a man who built on the rock. And so what we're going to do first is we're just going to dive into the similarities and ask the question, what is similar between these two men? And the first thing is both of the men hear the words of Christ. Verse 24, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine," they both hear Jesus' words preached. It can be easy, basically, to read a passage like this and go, okay, I understand what Jesus is illustrating here. I understand what he's communicating. Basically, there's two guys, and one of them goes to church on Sunday morning. He hears God's word preached to him. And the other guy, he's at home. He's sitting on a couch. He doesn't go to church. And that's what differentiates them. But what this passage teaches is they both hear the word of God preached. They're both at church on Sunday morning. Both of them are hearing Jesus' words preached to them. Similarity number two. Both men are building a house. And in this passage, in this illustration that Jesus is using, this house is metaphorical for building a life. I want you to think about the home or the apartment or wherever you currently live and how long you've lived there, or a home that you grew up with. How many memories do you have in that place? If you got married and have kids, you begin to basically have different memories. I remember where we used to live down in Missouri. When my boys were really young, they got in a fight on the basement stairs, and one of them pushed the other one off the stairs, and he had to go get stitches on his eye. And I remember that on those stairs. That's a memory. But we all have different memories basically in our homes because it's the epicenter of where we live our lives. We either have basically charts or something for keeping track of our kids' height, or we remember when our baby was first brought home to a room. And if you've lived there a long time, if you've gone to school and got education, you might have degrees up on your wall. Your home is your epicenter of life. It's where you come back to. It's where your family is. It's where you're established. And deep down inside of each one of us is a desire for a home. God has placed that within us because one day he desires us to long for that eternal home that we will have with him. But each one of us still has that here and now where we want that. And that's what these guys want. They want a home. They want to be established. They want to have a life for themselves. They want to belong. They want to be remembered. They want to be significant. And similarity number three, both of these men face a storm. They both face trials and tribulations. That's what this is metaphorical for, a hardship. And there is a reality that hardships in this life are inevitable. They will happen to each and every one of us at different points in our lives because we live in a world that is tainted by sin. These are the similarities of these men. They both hear Jesus' words preached to them. They both desire to build a life for themselves, and they both encounter a storm. And so now we go, well, what's different about them? If those things are similar, what are the differences? Verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And verse 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." You see, the distinction here is not who knows the Word of God and who doesn't. It's who is believing it putting his faith in it, trusting it, and building his life on it. And who is not? It's the action of obedience and belief that separates these two men. They approach life fundamentally different, where one of the men is not concerned with his foundation. And the other man, everything he does is intentional because he is concerned with the foundation. And that's what this passage teaches is building on the rock is constructing your life on the Word of God. And it doesn't happen unintentionally. And that's what Jesus is trying to begin to unfold in this illustration. You see that the foolish man who basically kind of looks down and kind of picks up some sand and goes, this will be sufficient. That's the man who goes to church, who hears the Word of God preached. And he might even sit there and go, hey, man, yeah, this is so good. All right. And then he goes out and the rest of the week lives his best life, does what he wants to do for whatever reasons he wants to do it, with no regard for God and his commands. The foolish man isn't concerned with the Word of God and how it applies to his life. And one by one, the fool constructs a life that is not built on the foundation of the Word of God. It would be like someone who wakes up every morning and instead of going to the Word of God for wisdom and life, basically gets on Twitter or X and goes, what do all the celebrities have to say about what's a good quote from someone today that I can live by? And tweet that out and go, all right, this is my foundation for the day. Or I remember a kid, even now, like all those shows, sitcom shows with Tim Allen, who is probably not the most ideal father figure in the world, but funny, and going, wow, if it worked for Tim Allen, it'll work for me as a parent. I should model my parenting off of his sitcom shows. Or going to work and basically seeking out marriage advice from just coworkers. And maybe coworkers who don't even know Jesus. Or watching the news in the evening and hearing the statistics about how people are living and going, oh, well, everyone else is living like that. I guess it's fine for me to live in that way as well. You see, we get to have a choice in life on what our foundation in life is going to be. But we don't get to choose the outcomes when the storms come. You see, in contrast to this man, the wise man is not content with just knowing the Word of God. He is intentional to obey. He comes to the Word of God and say, what does this have to say about who I get married to in this life? What does this have to say about how I treat my spouse in this life? What does this have to say about how we raise our kids? About what career I have? About where I live? You see, the wise man who builds his house on the rock is intentional to chisel down in this and to find, what does this have to say about life and how I should live? And it doesn't happen unintentionally. It's an intentional process and desire to say, I want this to be the foundation of everything I do because I don't want to have the result of the sand when that rain does come. The wise man anchors his life into the unmovable rock. And he isn't just satisfied with just knowing the words of God. Now, I remember as I began just praying over this passage more and more, just thinking about my life and how God had been at work in my life over the years. So I grew up my whole life basically going to church. When I was young, my parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. We came back and we grew up. I grew up in Michigan and I always went to church. I went to a Christian school. And I don't even remember a time in my life that I did not believe. that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and faith and repentance in him is the only way to receive eternal life. I received this message and believed it at such a young age. It's been my life. But my whole life, I've grown up basically in a Christian community. I knew all the verses. I always went to Awana and Sunday school. And going through Christian school, though, in Christian school, by the time we got up into junior high and then going into high school, there was kind of this culture which basically kind of taught us, and no one ever said these words, but it's how we all lived our lives, is knowing is what separates us from everyone else. We know the Bible, we know the verses, we know the gospel message, we know everything we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live our lives, and that's what makes us different than everyone else who doesn't know. And so obedience, God understands. Just this one time, just this one thing, it's not that big a deal. I mean, we're forgiven. And in that basically culture that developed there, we all just began to develop bad habits. And one of my worst ones was I used to cheat on everything in high school. Everything. And it didn't change when I went to college. And so my first year of college, I was at this small college. And I remember about 2 months in, we had this chapel service. And we went to chapel. And during the chapel, they showed this video of these missionaries who basically dedicated their lives to taking the gospel to a remote location in the middle of nowhere. And they were living out there, and they learned the language, and they began translating the Bible into this language, and they'd begun preaching through the Old Testament, and they get to basically the Easter message. They get to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when they preached the resurrection of Christ, they had this video that reenacted it with this tribe, and everyone jumps up, and they're running around screaming, He's risen. He's alive. And they were just filled with joy, exuberant joy. And I sat there in my seat in that little auditorium, and I remember looking up at that screen and going, I have believed this my whole life, and I have never had that. Never once. Either I believe something wrong, or I'm doing something wrong, but clearly there is something different between what they have and what I have, and I want that. And I went back after class that day, I went up to my room and opened up my Bible, and I said this one prayer, I want that joy. And before I even opened up my Bible, I was just starting to open it, I heard this still small voice say, Mark, you cheated on your very first test here. I want you to tell on yourself. And I went, nope, that's not going to happen. Oof, yeah. All right, and I went to bed. And the next morning, I woke up with that same just longing. I want that joy. Still small voice. I want you to tell on yourself. No, you don't understand, God. I want to be here now. Now I can learn about the Word of God because I happened to be at a Bible college. Like, I want to be here. If I tell myself I'll get kicked out, that's a bad idea. Not going to do it. And I still just had this longing of going, I am not content anymore to be living the way I'm living. I know there's something more that's out there, and I want that. And I'm not going to be okay with just floating by anymore. And still, every time I open the Bible, there's still a small voice that says, I want you to tell on yourself for cheating. And so like a good Bible school student, I said, I know what I'll do. I'll read through the entire Bible if I have to, and I'll find a verse that says I don't have to tell myself for cheating. And so I started in Matthew, and I begin to read through the New Testament, and I come to 1 Timothy 1:19, which says, Timothy, my son, keep faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. And I went, wow, I am about to shipwreck my life. And God is gracious and loving enough to say, I don't want you to do it. I have something better for you. I have something different for you. And it begins with taking this step of obedience. And that day, I went and called the dean, and in tears, I told him myself for cheating, and I got a zero on the test. And all of you know, after you get out of school, your grades are really important, aren't they? No. It was just this moment, and at that night, I had the most joy I've ever had in my life, because there's this realization of the creator of the universe, the living God, our Savior, is desiring to speak to me through his word. And he wants my life to have a firm foundation. And I'm never going to be okay again with just floating through. That's what this passage calls each one of us to. It calls us to ask the question, which builder do we want to be? Do we want to be the one who doesn't think it through and just goes, ah, this looks good? Or do we want to be the one that's intentional to ask the question, what does the Word of God have to say about my life? You see, the wise person builds his house upon the rock. The wise person builds their life upon the rock. The wise person builds their family upon the rock. The wise person builds their career upon the rock. The wise person opens up the Word of God on a regular basis and says, what does this have to say about how I live my life? Because I don't want to wake up 10 years from now and realize that I had built on the sand. Several years ago, it was about 2 years ago, my wife and I bought our very first house. And so it was a learning experience for us. And one of the houses we went to, we thought, oh, this is a great home. Like, this is so excited. It looks so cool. And the real estate agent brought us down to the basement. And it was funny because I clearly knew nothing about it. He said, here. He kind of moved my shoulders. And he's like, stand right here. Like, okay. He's like, what do you see? And I was like, there's a wall here. I was like, I see a wall. He's like, well, look up and look down right here. And so in the basement, there was about 2 foot above the basement that was above the ground. And if you look down right at the dirt line, the whole wall was leaning out. And he said, you see how they have these cables here? They've begun to correct it, but the foundation was shifting. He said, it's pretty expensive. Like, now walk over here. And we walked over to the other side of the basement, and that side hadn't been fixed, but it was bowing. And he goes, you don't want to buy this house. You're right, I don't want to buy this house. You see, so often that's what the Word of God and the Spirit of God does in our lives. It shows us that we all have sand in our foundation. And because of his deep desire and his deep love for us, he desires to reveal that to us so that we can know him, so that we can walk with him, so that we truly can have a life that is built on the foundation of the rock. And so that's what I want to close with today as I pray, is just that question, which builder do you want to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this passage. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you do for us. And we just thank you that you have given us your word and you have given us your Spirit to reside inside of us. I just ask that you would grow each one of our desire to know you and love you and to be in your word every day. May we each be a man or a woman who builds our life on the firm foundation of your word. We just pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Crosswinds Church. A complete archive of sermons can be found online at crosswinds.tv. Thank you for being with us, and may God continue to enrich your life.